Välkommen.
Välkommen.
Tervetuloa.
Välkommen.
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 Welcome to Testing Grounds from the Nordic Alliance of Artists Residencies on Climate Action. This is a bonus episode featuring NARCA commissioned writer Mari MacLeod and her story Cur na Mara, or Seasickness.
My name is Mari MacLeod and I am a writer from Glasgow, writing in both Gaelic and English.
Mari was commissioned by NARCA to create a short piece of fiction in Scottish Gaelic with an English translation. Along with Scots, Gaelic is one of Scotland's two indigenous languages. It used to be the most widely spoken language in Scotland, but now only a small part of the population speaks it. But there's a growing interest in how Gaelic language and culture can help us build healthier relationships with the land, with ecosystems, and with each other. Mari took inspiration for her writing commission from a well-known Scottish folktale, The Selkie Wife.
Which is a story that comes in many different forms, lots of different iterations across Scotland and across generations.
Selkies are mythical beings that can shapeshift. When they're in the sea, they live as seals, but they can also come onto the land. By removing their seal skins, they can take on human form.
I've always been really inspired by these folkloric aspects of storytelling, especially in Scotland. So I wanted to write a story that reimagined the tale of the Selkie in a kind of context of changing seas, changing coastal environments for the current climate.
Are these stories that you grew up with?
Definitely stories that I grew up with, but the Selkie one in particular. When we were growing up, my sister and I had a book called Stories by Fireside. And it was a collection of different stories written by Shirley Hughes, famous children's author. And I had these beautiful illustrations of it. And the Selkie story just always really stood out to me because it just made me really sad. But it was also quite scary. The illustrations were quite dark. So I always kind of saw it as a dark, sad story. And yeah, that's kind of where I first heard about the Selkies. But then as you get older, you kind of realise that these stories are kind of everywhere in Scotland, but that's where I first kind of got into them. I wrote the story when I was at the Saari residence in Finland, and I was there for 2 months, which was an absolutely magical, inspiring time. And I wrote that kind of being inspired by the natural environment around me, even though we were in kind of the forest surrounded by trees. I was just thinking about these kind of stories that you tell around the fire. Not that many of us do that nowadays, but that would have been told around a fire. And the time at Saari was just absolutely incredible. It's a kind of place where you kind of lose all concept of time and space, and you're just in a complete bubble away from the quote-unquote real world, and you're surrounded by interesting people, you're surrounded by beautiful landscape. And we had snow for a good chunk of the time that we were there, probably about a month of snow, and I've never seen snow like it. Whenever anyone asks me how was your time, I just say magical, because it truly was.
And how did that actually come about that you went to Saari?
So last year I took part in a residency at Cove Park, one of the other partners of NARCA, and that was a young Gaelic writers residency. So I was at Cove Park in Argyll for 2 weeks. So very different from 2 months. So that was a kind of snapshot of what a residency is like. And post Cove Park, I was given the opportunity to take part in the NARCA exchange programme for creatives who kind of produce work that comments on climate related issues. So that's how I ended up at Saari. At Saari, there were, I think, 9 of us in total, 9 artists, creatives, We built up a really strong community and we all kind of helped each other. And I was really inspired by all the work that all the other artists were doing. And I think without having that contact with them, I probably wouldn't have produced the amount or the kind of quality of work that I did produce. So I think that's a really important aspect of residencies in general. But in particular, Sari has done a really good job of kind of facilitating that.
And can you tell us about how you actually got to Sari?
Yes. So rather than flying to Finland, which would have probably taken about 3 hours, I travelled via slow travel. I was very lucky to get funding for that from the Kone Foundation, which fund Sari. So how I travelled was via Glasgow to Edinburgh, down to London, Eurostar to Brussels, train to Hamburg, train to Copenhagen, train to Stockholm, and then the final leg of the journey was the overnight ferry from Stockholm to Turku in Finland. So it took me about 5 days, I think, in total. And that was doing it as fast as I could do it. Even though it was slow travel, it still felt like it was all happening very fast. And before I knew it, I was at Sari in a little cabin. So yeah, that was pretty cool. You just get little tasters of culture along the way. Whereas when you travel by air, you get on a plane at point A, you come off at point B, and you've got no kind of concept of all the places that you've passed over in that time to get from point A to point B. So I think it's just being able to get tasters of a city and of a place. It makes sense, the kind of changes in culture along the way. Yeah, I would recommend for anyone to try and travel like that if it's possible. I know it can be difficult in terms of money and also time, but it is a really kind of special way of travelling.
Why is it important to you that you work in both Gaelic and English?
Writing in Gaelic, I think, is important for me in two ways. First, personally, because it's the language that my family have spoken, people that have come before me, like my granddad, my Pshenar in Gaelic, he wrote in Gaelic as well. And for me, it's kind of like keeping on that family legacy, but then also there's the kind of wider cultural legacy. And I think particularly when you're writing about environmental issues, it's important to understand that cultural sustainability is just as important as environmental sustainability. And that's kind of a hot topic in the Scottish Highlands and Islands. And if I can contribute, even though I'm a Glasgow Gael, if I can still contribute to sustaining our language, then that's really important to me. And I hope that I can continue to do that and really play a part in keeping the language, but also the culture alive.
And you mentioned a moment ago that NARCA were specifically commissioning artists, writers who are engaging with environmental issues, the climate crisis, whatever term we want to use. Why is that something you're interested in? Why do you engage with that in your work?
It's kind of always been present for me, that kind of sense of justice for the planet, justice for animals and non-humans, but also justice for people in general. And I think growing up, I've always had that. And it kind of started from like a love of animals and really caring about endangered animals. And then as kind of a teenager, you kind of learn more about climate and global warming and stuff like that. And it just kind of developed as an interest over the years. I went on to study geography, which kind of ties in the social and the natural sciences. So I did that at university and did a master's in a course called Earth Futures. So it's always kind of been something that's interested me. And I think that in terms of tackling these issues, to really get to people's hearts, being creative and producing creative work and artistic work that does that is really, really important, because technological solutions can always go so far, but if you really want people to change, then you need to pull at the heartstrings a little bit, in my view.
Here is Mari reading her story, Seasickness, first in English and then in Gaelic. Even if, like me, you don't speak Gaelic, I'd really encourage you to listen to both versions.
Seasickness. Cuir na mara. The pair walked hand in hand along the sand, their anoraks zipped up tightly. It was spring, and the sun was battling with the clouds and just about winning. But the wind from the sea was fierce and chilly. Ava, recently turned 6 years old, was restless and bouncy. It was the Easter holidays, which meant she was more excitable than usual as a week with her grandparents stretched out before her. The sea sighed in and out, breathing gently. "Look, what's that over there?" Ava shouted, letting go of her granddad's hand and bounding over to the rock pools. He followed on slowly, the torment of a dodgy hip hindering him. It was becoming more and more difficult to keep up with her on their escapades, and he tried to push the reality of the inevitable to the back of his mind. These days were far too important to him. "It's a bird," Ava shouted back at him, dropping her litter picker to the ground and crouching down. When he finally caught up with her, his heart dropped. It was a gannet, entangled in netting. "Stay back, Ava," he said, knowing the birds could be aggressive. It was alive, thank God, but its wings and webbed feet were pulled tightly to its body, stopping it from moving, and it was flailing its head around in distress. A resourceful man, he took the pliers he kept in his jacket pocket and began to snip the netting, holding the bird's bill shut with one hand to avoid injury. With every snip, the bird's wings began to flap, until eventually the netting came completely loose. Slowly, the man let go, and the bird took flight, disappearing up into the rock face. Ava grabbed the netting with her litter picker, examining it closely, then stuffed it into the black bag. "Shenar, if we didn't find that bird, would it have died?" she asked. "It may well have," he responded, "but luckily you and your eagle eyes were on the case." 4 years earlier, a sperm whale had been found on the beach in Shellabost. They said it had 100 kilograms of litter in its stomach when it died. A big ball of human waste, just sitting inside its body. He'd had to hide the tear that streamed down his face when he saw it on the news, for fear his wife would call him an old fool. That was when he'd started doing the beach cleanups. When Ava was no longer wobbly on her feet, he'd started taking her with him. He didn't like to get too sentimental, but it was difficult when she came along. Being a parent had been a minefield, learning what to say and what to do. But being a grandparent, it was different. He got to give her the best parts of himself, and in return, she gave him hers. But he couldn't help but wonder what kind of world she'd live in long after he was committed to the ground. When their bags were full, they laid a picnic rug on the sand and sat side by side, watching as the waves beyond advanced and retreated gently. They wolfed down the well-earned sandwiches, made with the care of a wife and grandmother in the morning. "Will you tell me one of your stories? Please, please, please," Ava exclaimed, licking the remnants of homemade raspberry jam from her fingers. "Okay, okay. Come and sit close to me." The man gazed out to the sea and thought of all the stories it had to tell. "Well, there was once a young fisherman who had heard the tales of the seal folk, the Selkies, and how they came ashore and shed their skins. A man of logic, he considered himself too wise to believe such fairy stories. That was until he saw her, dancing and singing on the beach one summer's night, her song wistful and alluring. Her hair was as dark as the deepest corners of the ocean,
her eyes as black as the night sky. Her sealskin was neatly folded on the rocks. Enticed by its shine, he swiped it and hurried home with his treasure. Soon after, the young seal woman appeared on his doorstep. "Please, sir, I can't return to the sea without my skin," she pleaded. But he would not give her back her skin. Instead, he asked her to become his wife. Now, she had no desire to marry this strange man, but with the magnetic pull of her skin so strong, she was bewitched. And so she accepted, knowing she would one day take back what was hers and leave him lonely and feeble. But the years passed, and she did not get her skin back. She scoured the house longingly, but her attempts were futile. The couple had a child, a girl, and she loved her dearly, but she missed her seal family in the sea. She would sit at the window gazing out at the ocean, thinking of them every day. The fisherman grew agitated and cruel as his yield of fish depleted and time bounded on. Men came from the south with their innovations and their noise, drowning out the soothing songs of the birds. Then fish came aplenty, dragged en masse from the sea, and so did the money. The seal woman's husband brought to her a solid gold necklace, as though her obedience and her love could be bought. 2 decades passed, and the seal woman's sorrow grew stronger and stronger. One dark autumn night, her daughter, herself now a gallus young woman, came to her. "Mother, I think I've found something that belongs to you," she said, carrying a large package wrapped tightly in plastic. Knowing exactly what it was, the woman leapt up in joy. She unwrapped the package and the sweet, seaweedy smell of the skin enveloped her. She ran through the village, barefooted, in her nightdress, and down towards the sea, ready for its welcoming arms. When she reached the sand, she turned back to see her daughter had followed her. She gave her a final kiss as tears fell down her daughter's cheeks, the saltiness a blessing on the woman's lips. She ripped the gold necklace from her neck and placed it in her daughter's hands. "Sell it and get away from here," she said, letting go of her child's cold fingers. "Mother, please don't go." "I have to go, my child. I'm going to be with the sea, where I belong." She wrapped her skin around her as she walked slowly into the salt water, awaiting the familiar metamorphosis. But her shape wouldn't change. She swam out with the skin heavy and cold on her back, knowing the currents would soon embrace her. But the sea, it had changed. It was not as it had been before. It was warmer, emptier, lifeless. Her skin wouldn't mould to her body as it had done before. It blistered and began to wither, losing its elasticity. An angry wave came and lifted her, depositing her at the water's edge like scrap. She lost her grip on her decaying sealskin and the currents whisked it away from her. She shivered as she watched it float like a carcass out to the horizon before disappearing out of view. "Have mercy on me," she bellowed to the waves. "Let me return home." But the sea just roared back at her, ignoring her pleas. Birds cawed as they circled in the night sky, mocking her. She sang for her seal family, but heard nothing in response. They were gone. And so, she was sentenced to a life of misery on land, unable to return home. She made a shelter in a cave by the sea where she lived alone, vowing never to return to the man who had stolen her freedom so many moons ago. She watched on as the beaches were littered with debris and rottenness took hold of the sea. Some say that on the wind you can still hear her singing her tormented song, longing to return to the sea she once knew. Ava turned to her granddad with a look of disapproval, narrowing her eyes. That's not how the story goes, Shenar. She gets to go back to the sea and lives happily ever after with the seals and brings her family on the land lots of fish. We learned about it in school. Well, sweetie, the thing about stories is they are always changing, the old man said. Just like the world around you. The story's yours now, and you have the power to change it, and so will your grandchildren after you. Well, I like the one Miss Macaulay told us better, she declared matter-of-factly. Your one was too sad. You're right, he said with a laugh. It probably was. Ava rose to her feet, then danced across the sand in her wellies. She spun round and round, twirling her litter picker like a baton. Come on, the beach isn't going to clean itself, she said, offering her granddad her hand to hoist him up. On the horizon, a seal poked its head above the water and watched them intently. Cur na mara, sea sickness. Koshikin ji shaka kola iriganavi, in shakachin chown mumboikin. Shen cherach of aun, is vagrian a burnahug ansachounds bachelin the skohen, a chast vagur na mara fia his fur. Va eva, a vagirach beckin a sheer blianagush, a bokadik munkurst. She sir lie in the cash gavown, is by tully chick and no fat shack in eke colliery a shinner. Vavur a gosnuk gusocker. Shall, jia shit, yev Ava, a lickel ass and tina of eker son scutal a hokal, is a yeruyanog in the cricken. Lenin shall dun your eke slurtoch, pian a cruach in a goperer. By fast nastulia is nastulia ya, kumal suusria, is loose na hoike eke. O mochrach, she ian a haun, yev Ava. She sula re vaun, is vae rock drown in lian a choriking. Gluish a rash, hurste, lan esik a gumbeag na chione vashaw fiaich. Vae bio tangto ye, ach vae skiahin is a chasin glashta di voik. Vae fulla shock and noyan in aching, is a chiaun a dull vo herv gutuv, a fiachin ni fine couches and lean. Hookin shalm dunya gremere as a focach. Margunya lav choroch vain coni jishel son soyuchug son bi. Hoshike gyarug in lean, a kumal grimer gop in yon agus nach bichake. Meyurig hal, hoshi skiahin in yon a clapbug is hooch in leonid falav a lukulier. Guslurtoch, lekin dunya in chian as is yeriker echak, a dol machishalug er out in the cricke. Nain eva grat graim in lean, gasgrutig. Is hilicky e yan focke vod du veike. A henar, mir a beag sheener in chian shen a lorik, and beag head basahug, yainihi. Stoche, ricker a shenar, nach evius tangal guno usa aun. O hun keer bliene, chai muk varis butoch a lorik erin traik shilbost. Hurstak gerokiet kilogram scutal in brine stomach. Ball moor truelish, jirach a suyen a voik. Yalich and botoch in jir a hoot shias outen nur a hunyke shin in the neochin. Saunik almshin a hoshike a krunyaku scutal von trai fashgore. Nurva evan is kinchia irikasin, hoshike katorsh kolerish. Onarukugi, vae fast nas mu einchnicha. Nurva clown ike hainok, vae vifiachin in the realton iumsukuk. Jé bechor ya yianu is jé nach bechor. Ach vae vina tohenar etter yaliche, is aper gron laien gala ek a hen is eva kola. Ach cool einching, va kishin ek a minchorsha sul antum fasig isha suus, fata in jé ya hen a dol yantalu. Nur van the bakken in ach galan, hayat er some picnic er eganavich. Yik eat na keper in a vaka, yet an ulchugly gulm na is shenever savating. A henner, an ishugo ferian is gilkin akit, macheta holly, yev eva a gimmelig shili von the korrigan eke. Throat maha ledi, is throat nasash gorum. Rhein eva shin, a gol graeme irishinar, is gasokrhug hain nagarstinin. Chial in dunya a machian vur, is munyachug in the scalachin a vicari isha. Urikin, va eeskir olkaun, va ar scalachin a chlainching mo vainchin than ron, na selkis, is marahigig yet hunachlatig, is marahilikig yet the crackening. Dunya nach eeshde gristorian shianoch, va a hain fatter o leek is on the rutin shin a kritching. Shin gusum faka e isha a dowser and try, earn oike howdy. Va a shine, a horan eke bean agus kuoch. Va a falt ho doroch rin a hatchkin as dyna sa chuan, is a sulin ho du rishin ar va os an kuhn. Crick, va an cracking ron eke a faske kukurmoch. Ron eesker a gremer is galavelish. Chapaluia vair chilig yachu lish a kraken a nochgen boronoch eke goris. Chanurig o chilig yan vur is asonish mo kraken, yevi. Ach a torige a rashie, a nacha shin huke tarik se fosi yi. Nisha, chro isha icha a giri in dunya sho a fosig, ach va tari na kraken cho lacher, agis dan bishit in doi asase a rain a rash, yan a gie. Hoorstie gyn posigi e, ach fa lan is eike gyn chichigi iachi cho lewis buringi, ga akel oendrnoch agus lak. Chain na bianich yn siachid, is cha dŵr a vaitin rôn grimer ych rach gyn eike. Choyot di sy'ch hwyla hache a choroi awn. Fa pasche ag y chwpal. Nian, agus fa'n boronoch lan gragi. Chosi chi fiws a fynas mesela ar yn dynia eike. A charon gael riaf chulachar sy fair son yn trelwch eich ag mŵr. Hwyg i ac yn ynyach y siawtig yn y fwr y smynwch ag mynd jyn y hwlyd la. Gas yn tiasgau dŵmpoch o'r haroi glach gyg môr an eisg. Hygig a iachu grwymoch ys be isio y ie mygdeilig ag leis y chwt sierf y dys. Chwyd na hiasgau yn barach fatig yn y mach y mŵr. Hanig ffyr fo ies le unolyn ys ffwym y bahig oran cwn yn ian. Ynys, fa pautius eis gawn, sgwyrpje fo grwnd na mara, agus pautius arigic. Hwcyn tiasgyr siet mwynau o'r iafnau, ys ei lan yn dŵw gan bwnyga y diw sioch ys y mahenys y llianoch. Chai ffichyd dion y siachyd, ys fa bron y faich yn rôn har smwyrn, ac yn eich ogyr, hannig yn nian eich hwychy, I hain a nish na boronoch oog nyog yawtoch. Na garstinen va pakic vod suanche anum film plastic. A vahir, ha me rutiger a lorik is ha me smunchin gran lata a hai. Leim in boronoch lan is aich a jivaun. Raki in pakic foskoche is huri in falig salche milish. Rai tron vale kas rukche is sius gundamare. Vai jishal. Voi hi gynno a nian eich gair y lenting. Hwki pochi is at sy hwch na jord si ysio hwtyn fa'n saling mad bianoch ar lipyn y faich yn rôn. Reipi yn sien y or fo a hafich is cwrian yn lafyn y hyn e. Reich sio, is tic y machus sio. Chanyw mi a gyr i gymfalafu y fam. Slan lat, y grai, ha mi a chilig ian fwr far yn bwn mi. Cwriin crachgain chymach o ore is chosi hi gysleutoch yan ysgu y ffihw ar son yn ahyroch hi. Ach y fyr, fai yr ahyroch hwg, fai nas blaia, nas alwyr. Chagolig yn crachgain nes y fwy geicu. Chosi ce y bwlyg na chwg is y siachgu, y cawl y hwbog joch. Hwg tawn mori ga chiligol gwtir. Chali grim ar y chrachgan ys glach na srwyn e, gath lewtog y ffala fwyfa. Choet i yr flod mar chlosoch, ys e'r ffara y dol y mach yr sialig. Gian troch yr orym, leg go chilig iachu, ie fy fach yn rôn. Ac fa fyr gyroch y becal yr ash gyn y fi gael fiashti.
Is mar sin huari bín behe ar tír. Rhaini áche fásgi ye hín an an gyoa, ag a clatach, fan an chíca gyn nian eich a chéli ora. Ach a jachy yachy gyn dynia eich a tylwg. Am ferri gotcha cwch sôr sy'r blion eich yn y rás. Hwna cyn y traen y lion ag li sgwtol ys li sbrwyloch, ys loif chachys y gael tarys y chwyn. A fain y gra gyn cleinw y hor an hast ar y gwy, ys i a gywnt o'r mŵr na mara. Gywnt o'r eifa ys choiad i ar y sienar li sŵl yn gyr. Chanaw mae'r sien a hans gaelach y dol y henar. Hae y chilig i'n fwr agos hae tolwytio lyn y rôn ele agos bu y tors tor eisg don trelwch eich eir tîr, iwsig si mae ein sy'n sgol. Wael meddal, has gaelach yn yn coni y gaharwch ych, rygar yn dynnu, dyrwch mae'n yn sôl mae'n cwrsdoch, orsd. Fyrti tu cael sy'n bu o'i an o'r lys yn sgaelach, sa'n latsa a hae yn ys. Wael, y siar laimsa yn stori y ieis mis ni gael lai gain, Fa'n che agatse rof ronoch. Lekin dynia mach gare, hau kiars de grai, a tors pok i er kiaun, si a va. Yerig eva an ursin is gaun si harish, erig anavich ans na botan an eike. Troat de henar, hursti, femishin kumal arn. Churia mach a lav hike, is le a kuchukuk hasten shalm dynia. Ik a muik mur, noch kiaun ron os kiaun an ishke, a kumal sul gyar ora.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Testing Grounds from the Nordic Alliance of Artists Residencies on Climate Action. You can find out more about the project at narca.art. If you enjoy the podcast, please tell your colleagues and friends and leave us a rating and a review. This episode featured Mary McLeod reading her story Cuir na Mara, or Seasickness. It was produced by me, Katie Revel. Our series music is by Loris S. Sarid, and our artwork is by Jagoda Sadowska. Thanks also to Alex Mars, Charlotte Hetherington, Lena Kayla, Alexia Holt, Parry Stave, Vibeke Kohler, Jakob Fabricius, Rose Tetgut, Helena Selder, Lisa Otogena, and Eben Mosbeck. The members of NARCA are Cove Park in Scotland, Sari Residence in Finland, Skaftfell Art Centre in Iceland, Art Hub Copenhagen in Denmark, Baltic Art Centre in Sweden, Narsak International Research Station in Greenland, and Arctica Svalbard in Norway. NARCA's initial three-year programme is generously supported by Kona Foundation and Nordic Culture Fund.